Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Yep, it's been a week, and we've got a new poem. Very interesting. I think most of our listeners have been following the aspirin story as it waxes and wanes year to year in terms of its ability to prevent disease. We know that cardiovascular disease and cancer continue to be the leading causes of morbidity and mortality, both in the United States and worldwide. The benefits of aspirin on cardiovascular disease have been known for at least decades. More recent evidence from randomized trials has suggested a benefit might exist for colorectal cancer prevention as well. So while the benefits of aspirin for secondary prevention are incredibly strong, I think there's much less convincing evidence around primary prevention. Just by way of background, aspirin produces a clinically relevant antiplatelet effect. It does this by irreversibly acetylating cyclooxygenase 1, we call that COX-1, which is required for little platelets to stick together, platelet aggregation. The findings of this process were achieved at high doses of aspirin, but also at low doses like 75 or 81 milligrams, and perhaps even as low as 30 milligrams. The higher doses of aspirin also inhibit COX-2, which block prostaglandins, and that leads to, obviously, the effect that we use for analgesic and antipyretic properties. So you found a poem. It was published in 2018 in Lancet. It begins on page 1036, and it asks the clinical question, is low-dose aspirin effective for the primary prevention of cardiovascular disease in moderate-risk patients? Before you start, I should point out that there have been, I don't know why, but there have been a number of studies, all that begin with the letter A. I think there's Ascend and Arrive and Esprit, and all of them have suggested sort of a small relative risk reduction. And so I'm interested to hear, Mark, how you take this study that comes from the Arrive group.
Yeah, the acronyms always fascinate me. And this one's actually a pretty good one. Aspirin to reduce risk of initial vascular events. So that's Arrive. They didn't really torture it too much, which is good. And you're right. There have been a whole series of recent studies, and we'll be covering some of them probably next month from the Esprit, again, starting with an A, series of trials that were done here in the U.S. And they came to similar conclusions, and that is that aspirin isn't quite as effective, if at all, as we used to think. So this, you know, as you said, we do know that low-dose aspirin for acute coronary events is helpful, and in patients with established heart disease, it's helpful. But been a lot of recent studies, many of them done a long time ago, back when we weren't treating cardiovascular risk factors as well in terms of blood pressure and cholesterol. So it may be that the landscape and the background against which we're using and aspirin has changed. So these researchers looked at the previous literature and they said, you know, most of those primary prevention studies were actually in very high-risk patients. They had a 20% or more 10-year risk. And so in the group that has a more intermediate risk, 10 to 20% 10-year risk, it's unclear. So they took 12,000 patients who had a 10 to 20% risk of cardiovascular events over the next 10 years. They were all men 55 and older, women 60 and older. And they randomized them to 100 milligrams of aspirin once a day or placebo. They excluded anybody with diabetes and also anyone who was at high risk for a bleeding complication. After 5 years, the main outcome was a composite of, as is common in these studies, MI, stroke, cardiovascular death, unstable angina, or TIA. And the composite was almost identical, 4.3 versus 4.5%, no statistically significant difference. The overall death rate was exactly the same, 2.6% in each group. Not surprisingly, the aspirin group had more bleeding events. It wasn't a big increase, 1% versus 0.5%, and there were very few moderate or severe GI bleeds, which is reassuring. So bottom line, in this study, after 5 years of treatment, in patients with a moderate risk of heart disease who took low-dose aspirin. They didn't have a reduction in coronary events or mortality and had a few more minor GI bleeds. Another study, which is interesting, Mike, is that this was by Rothwell, a different meta-analysis, also published in 2018 in Lancet. They compared 100 milligrams of aspirin in patients weighing less than 70 kilograms and more than 70 kilograms. And those who weighed more didn't have any benefit. Those who weighed less had a significant benefit. So it may be a weight-related thing, and maybe part of the issue in these more modern trials is increasing obesity, and maybe that 100 milligram or 125 milligram or 80 milligram dose is insufficient now. So that kind of raises an interesting question for future studies.
Right. So perhaps the question, Mark, is what are you doing in practice for these primary prevention people who are at, as you say, moderate risk, not high risk? Are you putting them on aspirin?
Not routinely. I think, if someone is, in their 50s, particularly if they have a risk of colorectal cancer, I think that makes it a little more compelling of an argument. But people really have to take it for 10 years, be of at least intermediate risk, at least a 10% risk, based on the USPSTF guidelines. And now I'm not even so sure that even in that group, there's really a benefit, given what we're doing for the other risk factors. Now, I think there's still a bit of an open question about the dose, like I mentioned.
Anyways, thanks, Mark. This is something that we'll obviously be watching, and studies will continue to come out, as you say. So thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.